To the war in Ukraine next, and military leaders have acknowledged for the first time that Russia's army has entered the Dnipropetrovsk region in the east and is trying to establish a foothold. We can talk now to Dan Saba, defence and security editor with Britain's Guardian newspaper. He's joining us from Kyiv. Dan, thanks for taking our call. Will you tell us a little bit more about Dnipropetrovsk, where it is and its potential strategic significance?
Well, it's in the heart of Ukraine, and it's not one of the territories that's claimed by Vladimir Putin as part of Russia. Of course, Ukraine disputes that. But anyway, it's in addition. Why have Russian troops entered there? Because they've been prosecuting this long offensive in Donetsk in the east, sort of the Ukrainian industrial belt. But, you know, Dnipropetrovsk is the flatlands next door, and they've been one part of the offensive meant they've been able to grab a toehold and start to seize a couple of villages there. Frankly, they've been attacking there for some weeks. Residents have already been evacuating from that part of Ukraine. Why is it significant? Because you're starting to see Russian forces enter the fringes of the centre of Ukraine, the industrial heart, some of its great and some of its great cities, and this would suggest that, you know, Vladimir Putin, when he says he wants all of Donetsk Oblast, it's one eastern region, it's not quite the case that actually he wants his troops to march on relatively indiscriminately and grab whatever they can.
Yeah, before the war, it had a population, I think, of over 3 million. It was Ukraine's second biggest centre of heavy industry, so it is an important place. How advanced is the Russian presence, and how strong is the Ukrainian defence, Dan?
The Russian presence is. I mean, if you look at it on the map, it's a tiny sliver actually of a large region. So one shouldn't worry about it too much militarily. I mean, Ukrainian defences are reasonably robust, but incrementally, Russia has been gaining territory in each of June and July, about 500 square kilometres in a large country. It's not a lot, but look, it's something, and they do that by these endless offensives that are costing something like 1,000 casualties a day. That's killed and wounded. To be clear, so large numbers, they are gaining ground, and of course, you know, as everyone knows, Russia's bigger than Ukraine, so it does put the defender in Ukraine puts a higher value on its on human lives, on the lives of its soldiers. So, you know, you are seeing Ukraine coming under this sort of protracted pressure while these negotiations seem to completely stall. So it's a difficult situation for Ukraine, but frankly, not much more difficult than it's been for the last 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, and you were one of a number of journalists in the region last week. What were your impressions of what was happening there?
Well, I think one thing that I think Putin did was when Putin said, I want all of Donetsk, when he told that to Donald Trump and said, perhaps then we can think about, a peace agreement. If he thought that was be an issue that would divide Ukrainians, you know, land for peace, that hasn't proved to be the case at all. And people who live in Donetsk, there's still 250,000 people live in the bit of Donetsk that Ukraine still holds. Absolutely, solidly, this is our land, this is our territory. Why should we be giving this up? We don't want to give this up. Similar feeling in the rest of Ukraine. Ukraine doesn't feel its military have been beaten. They're not a defeated country, and they shouldn't accept such terms. So there's very strong unity both in and out of the area. Of course, everyone wants to see the war end. Who doesn't want a war to last? But they're not prepared to capitulate, and that felt like a capitulation. And that's really the mood here.
Yeah. And Donald Trump chairing a meeting on Gaza today. He was very heavily involved for a time with Ukraine, meeting Putin and the other European leaders then and President Zelensky. Have all hopes of an end or a ceasefire faded at this point after that flurry of diplomatic activity?
I think they've certainly faded. And I think the problem is that the two sides are absolutely miles apart. And I don't think Donald Trump seemed to appreciate that. And, you know, normally in this diplomatic business, a lot of work goes on behind the scenes. So when leaders meet, they can discuss in general terms and declare some kind of triumph, right? The work hadn't really gone in this case. You know, Russia is still saying one way or another that in effect it wants to dominate Ukraine. Ukraine understands that. Ukraine can't accept that. Ukraine wants to be part of the EU, part of NATO, if people would allow. It wants to be part of the West. What Ukraine would accept would be a ceasefire on the current front lines, and the Russians aren't prepared to go for that. So we're a long way apart, and until Trump can make some progress in that respect, we're not going to get anywhere. So the fact that he's talking is a plus. That didn't happen under Joe Biden, but that's really about it.
Yeah. How's Kyiv this morning? What was it like overnight?
It's been pretty quiet, actually. And I think if there's one interesting thing, you know, does Donald Trump have any leverage over Vladimir Putin? And the answer seems to be mostly no. But Putin still wants a good relationship with him. And when Trump complained, as he did about a month ago, that Putin was bombing Ukrainian cities, like of course Kyiv, in a sort of relatively indiscriminate way, and civilians were being killed, and he was going to put sanctions on Russia as a result, economic sanctions, and actually the bombing of cities has to some extent eased. So what was a bad situation in June has been much more benign in July and August. Now, of course, who's to know where it all goes? And maybe Russia's saving up its stocks of these Shahid drones and missiles for a big attack at some point. You know, winter is not yet upon us, but we could see attacks on energy in September, and I think that's going to be a crucial moment. But for now, it's a lovely sunny day in Kyiv, and very pleasant and calm.
All right. Well, that's good to hear for now, at least. Dan, thank you very much. Dan Saba there, Defence and Security Editor with The Guardian, live from Kyiv.